Our main reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, the 19th and 20th chapters. On the third new moon after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." Then God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. Our gospel this morning is from the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as I mentioned this morning in my announcements just a few minutes ago, this Sunday is, of course, more than just our first Sunday in our new Ten Commandments series. It's more than just the first Sunday after Pentecost, more than just Holy Trinity Sunday. This weekend is also our Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. Not a religious holiday exactly, but certainly one that often calls forth our prayers and our thoughts as we remember those who have lost their lives in the service of their country. Of course, as I often preach, we are able to serve God and serve our country and our neighbors near and far in all kinds of ways through all manner of blessings bestowed on us. But even as we work and pray for a world without violence or war, we do well to remember those who risk their lives trying to keep others safe. I remember hearing a story about a young vet named Michael Petrie last year, a veteran who served two tours in Iraq back in 2006 and 2007, thankfully making it back home. But Michael did have some trouble when he got back home. You see, Michael has always been a gifted storyteller and has a good sense of humor, which isn't exactly the trouble part. And luckily, you know, serving in the military does have its fair share of funny moments. Even for all the stressful moments, it does have funny moments as well. And so he had fun stories. He had a story about Fred the Scorpion. Fred, you see, was actually a real scorpion. Now, Michael was a platoon commander, and some of his Marines had found this scorpion during on some of their patrols in the desert. And I guess puppies being in a short supply or something in Iraq, they decided to keep the scorpion as a sort of strange pet, not run the other way or squish it like I think most people would probably do. I know I certainly would myself. They kept it, you know, in a little cardboard box under one of their beds in the bunkhouse. Unfortunately, thankfully, I guess, someone eventually Googled to find out what kind of scorpion Fred was. And it turns out Fred is among the most deadly scorpions in existence. Probably not something you want to keep in a cardboard box under your bed. So Mike, being a very responsible platoon commander, ordered them to kill Fred the Scorpion. But the soldiers, either at this point being reluctant to get near Fred the Scorpion, or just too heartbroken at the thought that they would have to kill him with their bare hands or, you know, a bare foot boot or something, decided to just sort of drop him in a bucket that had some diesel fuel in it. And there they left him for a nice 3-day mourning period, figuring that would do the trick. And then on the third day, they plucked him back out, you know, ready to say their final goodbyes. And, you know, Fred was all kind of shriveled up, and they, you know, they figured this was the end for poor Fred. But then Fred sprang back to life, and 3 days later was resurrected, you know, and ran off into the desert. The interview didn't say if they renamed him Jesus after this, but I guess they were better off for him not being in their lives any longer. They were able to part ways on relatively good terms. Mike also had a story about poo. Now, not poo in the sense of feces, but part of the jargon and the nomenclature that is so common in the military, right? There's so many acronyms in the military. Well, one that they like to use was POO, or P-O-O, point of origin. So if there was mortar fire, they would try to find the POO. They'd go POO hunting, and they'd give POO reports. They'd call back to the command center where there'd be an officer in charge of recording where they found POO. And, you know, presumably using a brown marker, I guess. But... But as you imagine, you know, a lot of young men in the military, they found this hilarious, filing their various poo reports. But of course, Michael, as he got back from Iraq, as many soldiers do, find it hard to readjust. You know, because it's not just the funny stories that he had rattling around in his brain. It was the difficult stories, the deadly stories, the dangerous stories. More dangerous than just a scorpion under your bed. You know, and people wondering, people joking at, seeing fireworks or asking genuinely, you know, does this firework look like a mortar burst or something like that? He may have the poo story that's funny when it comes to mortars, but he also has stories of comrades taking shrapnel, people bleeding and possibly dying. And you know, when you're... Even when you're in a group of friends or when you're trying to meet new friends, you kind of need to ease into those stories. But of course, especially as he first returned home, all these stories just came jumbling out, not just the happy ones. Even scorpion stories, right? Scorpions are deadly. They're no joke. And for families in Iraq who often, you know, with all the disruption, there's not easy access to medical facilities. And oftentimes they would rely on, you know, the U.S. military and other U.S. installations to get their medical things. But then came this difficult dilemma of, well, if your child is bit by a scorpion in the middle of the night and there's a curfew, you're not supposed to drive at night, you know, what do you tell these families to do? Do they risk waiting to get medical attention, or do they risk the danger of rushing up to a U.S. military facility after curfew? You know, it's these very difficult nature of being in a combat zone. And while this is an important discussion for us as Americans to have, if you're just hanging out with people at the end of a work week, this is kind of some heavy stuff to deal with, and people are going to start looking at you funny if you keep telling all these difficult stories. And so, you know, Michael, the soldier, really has to wrestle with how he shares and how much he shares and when he shares it, you know. And the easy solution, of course, is just to shut up and not to say anything, but that's not exactly the best way to handle it either. You know, we mourn those who lose their lives in service of their country, but the survivors don't always have it easy either. You know, there's trauma, physical trauma and mental trauma, and just readjustment to radically different environments. Even coming back home can be so difficult. And in a way, you know, this is a little bit like the backstory to the Ten Commandments. You know, that's what we have this morning. We haven't really gotten into the meat of the commandments yet. But, you know, we hear the people fleeing. God is reminding them, you are the people that I rescued out of the hands of the Egyptians. And that's an important piece of this story and of understanding the commandments. Because if we remember that story, right, you know, maybe we remember the old movie with Charlton Heston, right? They, you know, there's the plagues of Egypt. You know, the people of Israel were suffering under slavery and oppression. And so Moses, through the powers of God, is able to kind of finally get Pharaoh to let the people go, right? And they cross the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are drowned, and they make it into the Sinai Desert. And here they come to the mountain of God. And of course, you maybe remember our other Sunday school lessons of how they got down in Egypt in the first place, right? They were, you know, Joseph in the multicolored coat, and he's sold into slavery. And then his brothers come, and eventually all, you know, he forgives his brothers, and they're escaping this famine in the Holy Land. You know, so there's been all this trauma in their lives as well. You know, all this, you know, the violence that they suffered at the hands of the Egyptians, the oppression they suffered, the, you know, just this challenge. And yet the people are out here in the desert and they're not completely grateful about this. They complain that, you know, yes, they may have been slaves in Egypt, but gosh, at least we had food out there. Now we just have this manna to eat. It's just this weird kind of stuff that they find on the ground. And God maybe sends them some birds, but, you know, chicken can only take you so far, I guess. You know, they need, they miss the, you know, the abundance in Egypt that they loved. And they're struggling. You know, that's part of the effects of sin, of the causes of suffering. You know, suffering and sin doesn't just create sort of people who are perfect other than their suffering, right? They're just sort of meekly suffering. They're just sort of victims. No, you know, the sin of oppression, the sin of violence, it tears communities apart. You know, and so the people of Israel, they come out into the desert and they need time to learn how to be a people again, to learn how to interact with each other in healthy ways. That, you know, they've been taught all these other more painful lessons about life, and God needs to teach them a new way of living. You know, you hear again those words of God in chapter 19 where God brings that lifted them up on eagle's wings and brings them where? Not just to the desert. God brings them to himself. God brings the people of Israel into a new relationship with God and brings them into a new relationship with one another. And this, as we'll discover as we go through the Ten Commandments, we really see the way that the commandments are not, they're not just rules to follow. They're not just ways that you follow them and you earn God's approval. They're ways to teach the people of Israel how to be a people in community with one another again, how to build a healthy community, how to treat each other respectfully. You know, this is something that they need. And of course, it's something we need too, because we may not have suffered under slavery and oppression, but, you know, our community gets fractured at various points too, and we need to learn how to interact with one another in better ways. You know, and that's what the Ten Commandments are supposed to help teach us. And, you know, when we see Jesus in the Gospels later on too, you know, that's what he's trying to say, that he hasn't come to get rid of the Ten Commandments. He's come to fulfill them in the way that they create a better place through creating better community. You know, it isn't always easy to do this work of community. You know, we have to sit through lots of difficult and awkward and tedious conversations with one another. You know, as Mike the veteran had to learn, you know, it wasn't just that he had to shut up and not share these stories. He had to learn how to have these conversations in good, productive ways, to find the right moments, to let out some of this tension within himself, but to do it in better ways. But of course, an even better solution is for all of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, of people who've been through these traumatic experiences, who've been through difficult combat situations, to increase our tolerances as well of hearing these difficult moments in the lives of those who serve on our behalf. You know, to make, and of course, to fund professionals to help them through, you know, perhaps the more serious challenges, but to support our men and women in service. You know, even as we work for a world that is that where violence decreases, as we, you know, move forward the cause of peace, to also help those who have served. You know, our world has changed. One of the things they mentioned in this interview is, you know, in World War II, there were 10% of the people, of the whole population of the United States, that served in World War II. In the Vietnam War, 2% of the population served in the war. And now in Iran and Afghanistan, 0.5% of all American people have served. And so for a lot of us, it isn't a real thing. It's just something we kind of hear on the news. It's not something that has been lived out in the lives of people that are really close to us. And so it is a challenge for us. But, you know, that's what we're so often called to do in ministry, is to find the harder, better way. You know, in the same way with our food ministries, it's not just about, right, it's not just give a man a fish, right? It's teach a person to fish. It's to support employment programs and livable wages. It's to support, you know, the safety nets, whether it's through the government or through nonprofits and churches. It's, we got to make sure people, and especially children, don't go hungry. You know, that's, it's not a good experience for people to go to. It's not for the betterment of our country. You know, we have to find the harder, better way, the thing that demands more out of us, to serve our neighbor in need. And so, of course, we remember today, not just hopefully on one day of the year, but remember always those who are in need in our communities and need us to stretch ourselves in our own service. You know, we may not be the type to be able to serve in some sort of combat situation, but we can serve in so many other ways that helps others bear the weight of the suffering that they are going through. So we pray today, of course, that God may bless us and bring us back to him when we don't feel so blessed, that God teaches us better ways to live, that God helps us to teach others better ways to live, to help them through the difficult parts in their lives. And we remember those, of course, who lost their lives far too soon, that their love may be an example for us in our own service, however we live that out. And that we may hear, as Moses heard and as the Israelites heard, that no matter what we go through, no matter what journeys we take, whether we're out in desolate places, whether we've come through a time of great difficulty, that God is our God, and that we are his, now and forever. Amen.